Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill. This is Coogan Cassius for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. We're in Leeds. Huge show at Headingley this week between Josh Warrington. I know I should introduce him first, but I'm going to say Josh Warrington and Maurizio Lara 2. Finally, we're nearly there, mate.
Yes, we're nearly there. We're nearly there, Coog. It's exciting. It's exciting. It's come down quick. Now, obviously, we've known that it's going to be happening for such a while, but it's never real until it's announced to the public. And I think it was announced with about 7 weeks ago, but that 7 weeks has gone very quick. And now we're a few days away. Exciting, exciting.
The pressure that you've put on yourself, not only taking the rematch straight after, I know it was back in February, but as your next fight, but more specifically in front of 20,000 fans when we hadn't really been in a situation where crowds have been that big. Pressure-wise, you've put it right on yourself.
There's always pressure, isn't there? There's always pressure on any fight now. What am I fucking supposed to do? You know, sorry, right? When you compare to the year or the years that I would have in the momentum they had prior to the pandemic and prior to getting beat, I'd beat Selby, Frampton, Galahad. I know I had to coach, but I was looking towards Shakur Stevenson, Gary Russell, Navarrete, Oscar Valdez, any one of them. I was chasing them fights and I felt fucking invincible. I felt invincible. Then obviously the pandemic hit, slowed it down. And with the fight with Kanju was going to happen. And Mauricio was just like, keep busy fight. Zhu pulling out about 5 weeks beforehand. We had to get an opponent. Manager Steve Wooden and Eddie and the rest of the boxing matchmakers went through a long list of opponents and nobody took the fight, and Micho had the bollocks to step up and take it, but it still felt like a level below. And obviously in me underestimating him, I paid the price, got chained, and here we are again. Now, yeah, I didn't have to pick him as a rematch, but what am I supposed to do? Drop down another level and have a steady comeback fight. It's like, I'm back to fucking more or less British level, and it's like, I don't want to take that drop. I still believe I'm world level fighter. You know, I still want to be back where I left off. You know, back to, you know, ranks at the top. You know, all these fighters are coming through now, like Lee Woods, your kids are coming back in the second, having their second rebirths, but I've been here for a fucking long time, Cougs, and it's like, I had to take the rematch, and for my mentality as well, I wouldn't be able to live with myself. Like, I remember when I boxed Dennis Tabiron in 2015, And I made hard work of that fight. I won it comfortably, but I made hard work of it. And then he boxed Mitchell Smith, and Mitchell Smith fucking blasted him out in a round. And they, oh man, I had to ride on that sofa. I had my toes curled, like, fucking hell. And people were messaging me saying, oh, that guy who you boxed, Josh, and took you 12 rounds, he's just been knocked out in a round, hasn't he? Like, so I wouldn't have been able to live myself if I need to put it right. I need to, all the fights that I've had, I'd be doing them opponents injustice, and just for myself, I know I can put it right, so why not put it right?
I know you say, you know, you just said to me there, you know, what were you supposed to do, but was it ever suggested or recommended to you that you possibly have one and then go in with Lara, or was that never ever on the cards? It was a straight rematch in your head that that's what you wanted to do and nothing was going to get in the way of that?
Simple as that. It's like straight rematch. I mean, have a steady win against a sparring partner. Like I say, what level do you drop down to? Do you get a false bit of confidence by going in with, like, someone a low level than what Lara is? And that's not disrespect to Lara. I just don't believe he's the fucking next Manny Pacquiao. You know, I don't lie. You know, who suffered losses in the career and they've come on good. I don't believe that. I just didn't want to come back to fight somebody and, like, get a win just to be overconfident and stuff, because I think I know why I got beat last time, and I know what needs putting right, so I don't think I needed to waste a camp in just getting a win and setting that straight for my own confidence. I'm pretty confident in myself just going straight into the rematch, and the fact that 20,000 people are there just makes it all the more exciting.
Who was it I was talking to earlier on? I think it was Enzo Macronelli. He said that I think someone who would benefit, or, I mean, it's difficult to say because obviously a lot of the shows were behind closed doors, etc. But if that was going to hinder anyone, it would be someone like yourself who have always had that kind of support.
Yeah, yeah, and I agree what he's saying. Now, if I had to fight behind closed doors again, I'd know what to expect. Maybe I should have fucking mentally prepared myself for that a little bit more. But, you know, in early days when you used to call me John Waddington and I was fighting on, like, that, you know, down the lines, I might have only had a few people there, but I had fucking people there making the noise. You know, there's always been crowds there, there's always been support. Now, when I first started doing the shows at the First Direct with Eddie, first time round, the crowds built up very quickly, and I was still working a 9-to-5 job, and it was hard to get used to, and I used to fucking feel a lot of pressure, Coog. And like, I remember one point fighting for British title on that Wednesday night, and I was living in my missus's mum and dad's back bedroom, and they had all gone on to boxing. I'm sat there listening to local radio because they were reporting there, and, you know, everyone's thinking it's a given. I was absolutely shitting myself, thinking, oh, I'm going to go down here, there's 3,000 people, and they all think I'm just going to win, but Martin Lindsay can fucking hit hard, I know he's dangerous. And over time, I just learned to deal with that pressure, learned to just use it as an advantage. And by the time I got through the Selby fight, I got to the stage where I'm not fazed by the pressure of the crowd anymore, I know how to use it as an advantage. So that's where I'm at, and that's where I'm at now. But last time, them not being there, I was really relaxed. I mean, I'm fucking laughing and joking with Ralph, floor manager, before I go out. Josh, get yourself up, you're going now. I'm having a giggle, and then gets up there, normally where I'd switch on by seeing people's faces, meeting their eyes, and adrenaline starts pumping, and I didn't have that. I'm like, fucking hell, better get myself psyched up here. And gets in ring and kind of just like, oh, let's just get this done. Now, if I had a roar of people there, I wouldn't allow myself to fucking be so blasé and so ignorant, because they'd pay their hard-earned money to be there. But yeah, just the scenarios made me a little bit too relaxed as well, and the approach to the fight.
I'm not going to even ask you about what's after this at all, but I will want to get your take on a couple of things that have happened since that loss. Obviously, first of all, Lee Wood beating Kanzu, or Zoukan, whichever way that's meant to be. And also Kid Galahad becoming IBF champion with his win recently over Jazza Dickens. Just your thoughts on those two performances from Wood and Galahad.
I thought Ward boxed an absolutely brilliant performance. I'll be honest with you, I expected more from the so-called monster. I thought we was going to see a non-stop punching machine, but the way that Lee dictated the fight meant that he didn't have the bottle to throw the punches because they were fucking scared of what were coming back. So, you know, kudos to Lee. I thought he would box really well and it would have been a very good performance. Like I say, surprise was you, but then I think he couldn't live with his Wood's power, and I probably bought into a lot of stuff that people were saying on the week of the fight. Initially, when they first got announced, I thought I fancied Kid to get the same result on the week of the fight. You know, seeing him in the weigh-in and stuff like that, I thought it could be a bit tighter. I even said in one interview that Jazza might have enough to pull it off, but Kid did well to outbox Jazza and wear him down with the weren't massive punches, but it just chipped away him.
Just coming back to Kanzu's loss to Lee Wood, was it a little bit bittersweet for you watching that, thinking you were linked for a fight for him for so long? Lee Wood obviously beats him. Did you watch that thinking a little bit of, really, that should have been me in there?
Yeah, a little bit, but I think I got over that because I've fucking been beat since. I think I had all them sulky moments when I was down at Manchester watching Chisora and Parker, because that should have been my night. That was the night where we were meant to announce, as soon as I beat Lara, as the rearranged fight, and it fucking never happened, and I had my sulky moments there. Once Lee Wood had boxed it, like, it is what it is. If anything, I thought, fuck me. He ranked number 3 by fucking Ring Magazine. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have had any easier fight to win a Ring Magazine than fighting that guy. I mean, the Ring Magazine belt is the belt that looks all over all the champions, that fucking defines you as the number one. And it's meant to be the very best, very, very, very fucking cream of the crop fighting for that. And, like, listen, he had a regular title, but made me do a bit more detective work. And after watching that fight, I just looked a little bit more down his record. And then when you look at the opponents who he has beat, apart from Money Robles, they've all been just absolute stinkers from Japan. Made for him to look good and be a monster and throw thousands of punches and have not coming back. But obviously, you know, Lee Woods is of a class, and I think a lot of other fighters, if you would have mixed him of a class, it would have struggled.
But obviously, take nothing away from Lee Wood and Ben Davison.
That's making me sound a bit
better. No, but I think people understand what you're saying. But yeah, I mean,
listen, Lee Wood made it look fucking very easy. I think people would beat you, but would have maybe had a harder fight. Lee did it fucking, like, it didn't look like he did it in second gear. He cruised it, and that's not, like I say, I'm not taking nothing away from him, because he did really, really, very well.
Okay, well, after you win on Saturday night, I'll bombard you with questions about what's next, but until then, it's only Wednesday today.
I like the positivity. Some fucking fella over there asked me, what's it, have you even thought about losing? What happens if you lose it? Fuck me. Fucking hell, mate. Depression here. Fucking.
I just know losing isn't an option for you.
It's not, exactly. No. We don't even let it into the mindset. I've had me a bit of sulking and moping and fucking crying about it. I've done all that shit, so don't start talking about losing and stuff. We just talk about winning. Positivity.
There we go. Then we can talk about what's next on Saturday night. Josh Warrington, thank you very much for talking to IFL TV. This is going to be some night in Leeds. It's obviously your fight, but it's a Katie Taylor, Connor Benn, Leeds' new Ebony Bridges as well. Hopi Price. It's a stack card.
Mate, it's the biggest show post-pandemic. It's fucking, how can you argue with it? Look at the card. We've got, like, fucking local fighters, local talent. We've got female fighters on there, female world champions. We've got revenge.
We can't forget Maxi Hughes' fight, because that's such the underrated Cinderella fight on this.
Cinderella story. We've got fights what should have happened and they didn't happen, so it's got everything. And it's going to be hell of a show. And this is where at times I wish I had a fucking double to get myself a pint, get myself a new outfit, have a burger throughout the day and sit myself ringside and watch it. But obviously someone's got to do the job on there. So, it's going to be a cracking show.
If you could sit there and watch it, what happens in that main event if you're watching yourself?
Oh, fucking Josh Warren just storms it, gets on top of the ropes and starts fucking screaming, "I fucking told you so, I'm back. I'm like, oh, hey, well done, Josh, pal. Hey, get your pint after. Yeah, bang on.
All right, well, let's get you that pint and burger after that. Josh, thank you very much for talking to IFL TV. Like I said, it's only Wednesday today, so I've just got the presser tomorrow and then Friday weigh-in, Saturday night. It's on at Headingley.
Cheers, Coogan. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.